Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I want to continue with the topic of the kingdom of God being that it is an everlasting kingdom. That is a kingdom that will prevail over this world. It will be the kingdom and the king that will rule and reign over this earth. Amen. And that's the kingdom that I want to be a part of. Amen. Just for saying it, we've said it many times, but to say it again, we are preaching the kingdom of God. We're not preaching any other kingdom. We're not preaching any other name. We're not preaching denomination. We're not preaching the kingdom of America or any such thing. We are preaching the kingdom of God. Because these other kingdoms are going to fall. All of them. All other kingdoms must fall. Every other throne must come down. Amen. No matter how much we love it. Amen. And you know, sometimes we do love these other kingdoms. Yes, we do. We love, and by the way, there's kingdoms of politics, kingdoms of educational systems. Amen. Oh, yes. But they're all going to have to come down. Now, we were talking a lot about Babylon last week and how Babylon must fall, and we were in the 18th chapter of Revelation. So much is said. They're so big. Babylon is so big. We cannot imagine how big it is. It's just not. It's not just big in the natural. It's big in our heart. I should have read the verse from Jeremiah where, even in Jeremiah, almost word for word, what is in Revelation, I believe it's Jeremiah, where he said, how did he say it? Don't be in pain for Babylon, because she's going to fall, and she will not be saved. Amen? So we said, I think Jeremiah said, we have loved Babylon. We have wanted to revive her. We've wanted to restore her. But she will not be restored. Amen? So, there's another couple of verses we read, of course, in Peter about the end of the world systems, that they're coming with a loud bang, with a loud crash. You want to talk about the Big Bang? The Big Bang is going to bring an end to all those other kingdoms. They're going to crash. I mean, it's going to be a resounding crash. In 1 hour, these things. I mean, the Bible says in 1 hour. I cannot imagine all this happening in 1 hour. You know, if you were around, what was it, 10 years ago, 9/11, 01? No, that was more than 10 years ago now, wasn't it? 13 years ago. But some of you probably remember that very clearly. It was so sudden, just like that. In fact, were you home? Were you up there, Larry?
No, we were in Pennsylvania.
You were in Pennsylvania. You know what? I think I went over and turned your TV on that day. somebody said, go turn the TV on. And we watched the second tower fall. Right there, live. In front of us. This was all so unexpected. So unexpected. So sudden. Amen. And the Word of God is saying, this is the way the end is coming. Suddenly and unexpected, shaking, mighty shaking. But we are seeing the signs of these things now, and we cannot lay hold. We cannot hold on to these things that are failing. Hallelujah. So I want to go to the book of Luke today. There's just a couple verses, and then we'll pick up a few in the Old Testament as well. But in Luke 21, which is almost the equivalent of Matthew 24, Luke 21, Jesus is talking about the coming, his second coming. And he says, let's start in Luke 21, verse 24, okay? And he's talking about particularly the destruction of Jerusalem, but there's something else in this verse other than just natural Jerusalem, okay? He says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, This verse has a natural understanding and it has a spiritual understanding as well. You know that what he spoke here literally and naturally happened in the year 70 AD. Jerusalem was, as a natural city, it was destroyed by the Romans. Okay? And the Jews were led away captive. And the city of Jerusalem has been trodden down. But when he says here, when he says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, we understand that he is not just talking about natural Jew and natural Gentile. Okay? Not very many of us qualify as natural Jews. It doesn't matter. We are of the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom he's talking about. So when he's saying the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled, the word Gentile has a spiritual meaning, and it means the people of the world. Okay? So there's coming an end of Gentile kingdoms. Do you follow with me? Gentile kingdoms are coming to an end. And that includes the kingdom of Islam. You see that this Islamic thing is stirring up again over in Iraq again. The Sunnis and the Shiites and whatever, they're going to fight with each other right up until the end. I mean, it doesn't matter. One can... it's another kingdom that's going to fall. Amen? And so there's coming an end of Gentile dominion. Now, Gentile systems, let's talk about the political Gentile systems. That includes the systems that rule Europe. That includes the system that rules here in America. It's coming to an end. It's a Gentile system. We are not the kingdom of God. The United States of America is not the same as the kingdom of God. Amen. No matter how much you love her. Amen. The kingdom of Russia, Ukraine, whatever, they are not the kingdom of God. There are people of the kingdom of God who live in these places, but itself, its political dominion is not the kingdom of God. And as a Gentile system, it must come to an end. Hallelujah. So, he says here, as we go on from this, he says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth. So you see, you've got heavenly signs, and you've got earthly signs. How many of you can see these signs? Amen? I'm not real acquainted with star signs and all. I gave you a little teaching on that a while back. But I'm definitely aware of the signs in the earth, natural signs that we're seeing of the coming of the end of the kingdoms of this world. Amen. Rita and I were talking on the way down here today, and we were kind of having a little discourse. How much more wicked can this world become? Amen. How much more is God going to allow before he intervenes? And we say, oh God, come quickly. But then Sister Rita raised the question, well, are we ready? Are we going to be ready? Do we have other thrones and kingdoms in us that would prevent the Lord from using us to the fullest extent? Maybe that's why she took the songs that she did today. Almighty Christ, come forth in me. You know, let there be no other thrones in me. Hallelujah. If we want the kingdom of God to come, and if we want to see the end of these other kingdoms, then we have to ask God, take these other kingdoms out of me. Take Babylon out of me. Amen?
Yeah, because what I was sharing was his righteousness is absolute. I mean, when he comes, is there anything in us that's going to rebel against that absolute righteousness, that absolute holiness? So I think he's waiting for us.
Yeah, there's no shadow of turning in him.
Shadow.
But we have shadows in us. Oh yes, we have shadows in us. You know, and I said, well, God doesn't have to have any shadows. He gets anything he wants. You know, I was being a little facetious about that. But you know, sometimes when we don't get what we want, we resort to carnal methods to try to make it come to pass. And that's not the kingdom of God. We are not, in other words, holy and completely depending on the move and the act of God. So we're not ready. We're talking about these kingdoms. And so he says the kingdom of the Gentiles is coming to a fulfillment. How many of you know that everything has a fulfillment? Everything has a fullness. Unrighteousness has a fullness. In other words, it gets as bad as it can get. The earth in the days of Noah, the unrighteousness came to a fullness. And God said, I can see it coming. I'll give you 120 more years to repent. And they didn't repent. Just Noah and his family. And there was a move of the judgment of God on the earth. There were things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. It wasn't just homosexuality that was going on in those places. They were just totally, thoroughly, absolutely cruel, wicked people.
Violent,
wicked people.
And
yeah, and it came to the point where God said, I'm finished with it. I'm going to destroy it. Fire from heaven came down and destroyed these. Fire and brimstone from heaven. And you know, you've heard about Lot and his daughters, and I wonder, why in the world would these girls do this? And I was reading something else the other day that said these girls thought that the world had come to an end. And that they were the only ones left on the world. That's what somebody else thought. And this is why they did what they did with their father. Anyway, it was wrong. All right, so we say here, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Distress of nations. How many of you believe we're seeing distress of nations? Oh, yes. With perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Now, sea and waves roaring isn't just the storms.
No.
The sea, as you read in the book of Revelation, it's Revelation chapter 12. Let me go and read it, and I'll get it right. But woe to those on the earth and on the sea. Rejoice ye heavens. Do you remember the verse? Rejoice ye heavens, but woe to the earth and to the sea. Maybe I've got the wrong chapter here. Oh, here it is, chapter 12:12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time he hath but a short time. So we who are dwelling in the heavens are in spiritual places in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. We can dwell in that place. We don't have to hear the woe. It's the rejoice, ye heavens. But those who are on the earth, that's the carnal realm, and those who are of the sea, that would be the vast, unredeemed humanity. Woe unto them, for the devil is coming with wrath, and he's going to stir it up. Okay? So this is the waves. This is the waves that are roaring of the sea. This is the Arab Spring. They're all stirred up. What was that? A couple years ago. They all stirred up. All stirred up the politics of these Mediterranean, Mideastern lands. It was waves of the sea. This Occupy Wall Street. It's another example of the waves of the sea roaring and stirring up. And you know what? We're going to see more of that. Brother Campbell has clearly seen that the restlessness of man is going to become greater and greater as the move of the devil begins to stir on their heart. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Amen. How many of you know we have no need for fear? Amen? If God says fear not, then why would he say a thing like that? Because in the natural, you would have cause for fear. Right?
Yes.
Probably Larry and Madeline are the only ones here. Maybe, you...
Don't
say it. No. That remember, when I was still working up in North Creek, I think it happened before we ever even met you, that Janet went up to North Creek with me. No, it was after we came down here. When she rolled the car over? Yeah. And we were approaching North Creek, where I was working at the nursing home at the time, And she said, "Can we pray?" And so we prayed. And the Lord, surprise, surprise, the Lord gave me the word. It said, "Fear not." You know, and I don't know what else was said, but I remember the Lord said, "Do not fear." And I gave her that word, "Do not fear." So she left me off at the nursing home, and then she starts up the mountain, even higher mountain, up into the Newcomb area. And up on, it was October, and up on the very top, on the highest elevation, there was snow. And a deer ran across in front of her, and she tried to hit the brake and avoid the deer, and she ended up flipping the car, end for end. But she was unhurt. And she remembered then that the Lord said, "Fear not." There, so there would be cause for fear, but the Lord says, "No, you don't need to fear. I'm going to take care of you." You know, she didn't have a broken bone of any kind. Had a little bruise on her somewhere around here. Just a bruise, and that was all. Trooper came along, and this is after she's way down in Glens Falls already at the emergency room being checked over. Trooper came along, and the ambulance driver was the phys ed teacher up there at the school. And the trooper says, "Yeah, got to be alcohol here. I'm going to order, get her a test." And the ambulance driver says, "Dry, dry, dry." Trooper says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Trooper, that's going to be the driest test you ever ran." That woman never drinks. So, you know, we have a reputation in the community. We didn't know that man very well. I'd only seen him once, but they heard. They heard who you are. They say, these are people, they don't drink. They walk in a certain manner. Amen? So we have a reputation, amen, in this world. And the world knows who we are.
In the spirit world, too.
And the spirit world, too. That's right, Brother Larry. In the spirit world, too. So men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming up on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. When the powers of heaven are shaken, that means the spiritual realm is being shaken. The devil's stronghold on the systems of this world are being shaken. And Peter says they're going to be loosed. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. That's what Peter's talking about. Amen? Powers of heaven being shaken. I like that. Amen? I can get along with that word. Amen. While we're in Luke, let me just take you to the next chapter, 22, verse 29. And it says here, Jesus is just talking to his disciples. I'll just read a couple verses here. It says, "And ye are they," verse 28, "ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations," in my trials. He's talking to his disciples, all right? Now, by the way, the Word of God is not just written to one people. It's written to every age, and it applies to us. So we can take what the Word of God says, and we can say, that's for me too. It's the life. There's a living spirit in the Word of God, and it applies to you if you hear the quickening of the Spirit as you're reading it. Amen? "Ye have been with me, and I appoint unto you a kingdom." Don't you like that? "I appoint unto you a kingdom." Amen. Not the kingdoms of the Pharisees and the high priest and this type of thing and Pilate. No, not that kingdom. Amen. "As my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Amen. So God has a place for us in his kingdom. Everybody. He has a place for everybody. Hallelujah. And you know, by the way, that place depends somewhat on how you're walking now. You think you can just get by and just slide in by the skin of your teeth and think you're going to be sitting on some big throne and ruling and reigning? You'll get there. You know, the thief on the cross, he didn't overcome very much, did he? He had to overcome for an hour or so, but he got in. He got in because he saw the blood, and he believed that that blood was able to deliver him from his wickedness, his sin. He told the other thief, he says, "We deserve what we're getting. We're criminals. We're horrible people." And then he turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, you've got a kingdom. You're coming into your kingdom. Will you remember me when you come into it? And the Lord said, yes. You'll get in. You'll get in. He didn't tell him he was going to be on a throne or anything like that. But he says, you'll be with me in paradise. You're going to have some comfort. Amen? Okay. Let's go over to Malachi, or not to Malachi, to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Am I saying it right? Probably not. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It's on page 771. If you've got my Bible. And Habakkuk chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. It's on the next page. Okay. Let me see if... just verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What is this a description of? The earth shall be filled. Who's the Bible scholar here? Didn't the Lord say something like that to Moses? After he had begged God to forgive the children of Israel, didn't he say to Moses one time, yes, I'll forgive, I'll pardon them, but the glory of the Lord is going to cover all the earth. Didn't he say something? I was looking for it, I couldn't find it.
Isaiah said it.
Was it Isaiah? Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought the Lord spoke to Moses saying that one time.
May have.
Anyway, the earth... Listen to this. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. What is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? First of all, what is the glory of the Lord? Yes. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is that you're going to know, you're going to understand, you're going to comprehend what that glory is all about. Hello? You're going to know it. And that means that you're going to know it by experience, as an intimate knowledge, as in Adam knew Eve, his wife. They knew each other intimately. It wasn't just they read a book and, oh yeah, that's good information. No, not that kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. So the earth will be filled as the waters cover the sea. How I like this description. How thoroughly does the water cover the sea? Is there any place in the sea that is not covered by water? No, water goes everywhere, doesn't it? I mean, maybe the water doesn't cover the mountains, but he didn't say that. He said, as the water covers the sea. I don't think there's any place in the sea that they have found that there's not water. It's just, I mean, it's, water is heavy, gravity takes it down, it covers every crevice, every cave, every cavern, every trench. Water is there. And that's how completely the knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth. Now, there's places in the earth now that know nothing about the knowledge of the glory of God. There are tribes, there are people, there are wicked nests of people that do not understand anything about the knowledge of the glory of God. And they don't want to know. But the Word of God here says that it's going to happen. It's going to cover all the earth. That means there will be no resistance. Whatever resistance of people that don't want to know, it's going to be eliminated. It's going to be obliterated. Gone! Pity those who fight against God. You see, people for generations have been able to get away with thumbing their nose at God. And they just make a choice. They're either going to go into the kingdom of God or they're going to go into hell. And they've been able to get away with it. so-called get away with it. Okay, we know they don't really get away with it. But the judgment of God in our generation, we have not seen God rise up. We have not lived in the days of Noah. We have not lived in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have not lived to see some of these massive moves of judgment upon the earth. Although I don't know what it was like. I wonder sometimes if the people who lived during the Civil War didn't think that America was coming under some kind of judgment. You know, we were watching that DVD of Gettysburg. Just the Battle of Gettysburg. What did they say, Rita? 52,000 men died in Gettysburg? 53,000. All right, so I got one of the numbers wrong. Can you imagine 53,000 men dying in a three-day battle?
Wow.
Hey, yeah, it's a city. How many people in Schenectady? What's the population here?
25,000, maybe?
Yeah, so that's nearly half the city. Can you imagine? Half of the population of the city, bodies laying around everywhere. Oh, that didn't count the wounded. Did they not believe that it was the judgment of God? Even Abraham Lincoln said, you know, my own blood will probably be required as well. Because of God has to bring some justice and correction to this nation. And you know, the news, they make a big deal out of five or six soldiers that die. I mean, it goes on, they mention it for days. Four soldiers die. Oh, the next day. Oh, it was five. What would you do with 50,000 in one battle? You see, our generation, we don't know. We do not know. What about D-Day in 43, I think it was, wasn't it?
44.
How many died? How many died on that Normandy beach?
Tens of thousands.
And there were no reporters there standing on the beach, you know, holding their little microphones and saying, well, what about the policy? What about our foreign policy? You know, no. They were just there being slaughtered because there was evil in the world that had to be overcome. I'm talking about kingdoms. Kingdoms fall. I'm telling you, brethren, this kind of thing is coming to America again in our time. Wickedness. Wickedness has to be paid its price. Unrighteousness. Things that we are doing probably would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush. But the good news, I didn't mean to tell you all the bad news. The good news is the glory, the knowledge, not only the glory, but the knowledge of the glory. You're going to be aware of the brightness of God in every aspect of life. Every decision that man makes, he will be aware of the presence of the awesome glory of God. What would God, my actions, how do they line up with the presence of God, the ruling of God on this earth? Hallelujah. My God. Malachi, I did mention Malachi. Malachi has something to say about it too. Chapter 4. Just three verses in chapter 4. And behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. My goodness, this sounds like most of the world, doesn't it? Proud, wicked. My goodness, when you see those that rule our government, Can you say there's no pride? Can you say there's no arrogance? I mean, even on the state level, the big shots, they're always coming up with some corruption, wickedness, thievery, the proud and the wicked, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. How much is there of stubble? When a farmer goes through the wheat field and takes all the straw and all the wheat and everything else, what's left?
Just
the stubble.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Just the stubble. Little thing about this high, as low as they could get the combine down to graze across the land, that's all that's left is stubble. The rest is gone. They shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. So even the stubble's going to be gone. It's going to be burned. It's going to be a fire go through the whole field. Burn it up. Burn who up? Burn up pride. Burn up wickedness. How do you burn pride and wickedness? What? Can you see that kind of a fire?
Yeah.
No, you can't see it. It's not a natural fire. It's a fire of God. It's the presence of God that is going to consume and destroy pride, wickedness, that type of thing. Gone. The presence of God. You cannot be proud in the presence of God. Have you ever met God? Have you ever met Him face to face? Have you ever had a visitation from the awesome presence of God? I tell you what, you read about these folks in the Old Testament that they met the angel of the Lord, pow, down on their face they went. This is the only position you can take when you really see the Lord Himself. You cannot look upon that awesome, powerful face and come into that presence with your own pride. You can't do it. Not unless you're so thoroughly wicked that you just, no, not if you have any inkling at all of the Lord. And all that do wickedly, and the stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There's not even going to be roots. It's going down into the earth to destroy the root of wickedness. Fire. Amen. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. How do you like that word, healing in his wings? How many of you need a touch of healing in his wings on your body, on your soul? You want a touch of healing in his wings? And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You folks don't know much about calves, do you? Get a calf that's been in the barn, tied up all its life, and take it out into the field and let it loose. Oh, they're going to run just like little lambs. They're going to run, they're going to jump, they're going to gambol. This is what the Lord says it's going to be like for you. Amen? And ye shall tread down the wicked. We're talking about another kingdom, see? You're going to walk on top of it. You're going to tread it down. Amen? And they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. They shall be as ashes under your feet. That means there's going to be fire, and you're going to be walking through after the fire, and it's going to be nothing but ash under your feet. Amen? Okay. Do we have time for Psalms? Let me see what time we've got here. Oh, yeah. We got time for more. Any questions here about Malachi? I like that. And it's here that he says, I'm going to send you Elijah. How many of you want to be part of that Elijah company? He's not just sending one man. He's sending an Elijah company. All right, back to Psalms. There's a couple verses in Psalms. Psalms 145. Oh, let's see if we can find it. Yeah, here we are. 145. getting toward the end of Psalms. 145, and we're looking at verse 10. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Who are the saints of God? Amen. I heard believers and I heard me. Some people think that you, in order to be a saint, you have to die. Are saints just the dead people? No, they're the living people. Now, you know, the Catholic Church believes that that they can make a saint after a pope dies or something. That they can declare him a saint. I don't know what he does before they have their vote and decide that he's a saint. Where is he before then? Is he in purgatory or something? I don't know. But anyway, saints are people who are alive as well as people who have died and gone on. Okay? Righteous people. Let me add that. Righteous people. Amen? And they shall speak, verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. How many of you know the Lord has all power? He can do anything he wants. Amen? He can put the earth in a whole different spin. Put us in a different orbit if he wanted to. I think it would kind of upset things for him to do that. But he could. He has the power to do it. We saw a lot of rain this past week, didn't we? Some violent wind, flooding in Montgomery County. That's down the hills from where we live. Not where we were, but down the lower hills and the valleys and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, talk to some of the brethren in the Midwest. They said, we're not getting rain out here. And then I saw another report that the Southern Plains is not getting any rain. But here we are, we're getting it almost every day up here. And I'm thinking, Lord, you have the power. This is in your hands. You have the power to send clouds wherever you want to send them. You have the power to withhold clouds. He could just as easily send rain over those desert areas and those dry areas, and he could withhold rain here where we live. And I thought, Lord, apparently you decide whatever is most effective, whatever is according to your will is where you're going to send it and where you're not going to send it. So it says that we're going to speak of the glory of his kingdom and talk of his power. Okay? And to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Is this prophecy that David is speaking? Is this not prophetic? Yes. And then here's, I love this next verse, and this is verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. How would you like to meditate on that for a while? Okay, can I pick up a few verses in Daniel? And then we can finish with the book of Daniel. Okay, I've got to go the other way for Daniel. Here we are, Daniel. After Ezekiel comes Daniel. Okay, Daniel 13. No, wait a minute. Well, yes, Daniel chapter 2, of course, talks about the kingdom of God. I had overlooked that. Thank you for pointing that out. The image, I particularly like this part in verse 34, where it says, Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image on his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. What is this stone cut without hands? What is it? It's the kingdom of God. It's Jesus Christ coming in power, smiting the image of the kingdoms of this world, breaking them into little pieces, grinding them to powder. The wind blows it away then. Amen? And the stone, here in the bottom of verse 35, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Amen. This is the kingdom of God. It's going to fill all the earth. Hallelujah. No more unrighteousness. But there is more. And I am going to come to another part of chapter 7, I think it is. Yeah, here we are. Yeah, in chapter 7, I have some verses here. And where to begin here? Okay, let's begin in verse 13, okay, in chapter 7 of Daniel. He says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Everlasting kingdom. When does an everlasting thing expire?
Never.
Amen. Wouldn't you like to buy some groceries in the store and find an expiration date? Never. Yeah, I kind of have to laugh. Even these bottles of water have an expiration date. I think, how can water expire? Well, I mean, water is still water. It doesn't expire.
Maybe because it's in a plastic jug.
Maybe the plastic jug expires. Yeah, but the water doesn't expire. Container might expire. Amen. But the kingdom of God has no expiration date. Amen. You don't have to use it up before 2015 or something like that. And man cannot make a law about it. It will not expire. Amen. Come over to verse 18 as well. But the saints, listen to this, the saints of the Most High. Who are the saints again? Amen. Me and you. The saints, me and you, amen, shall take the kingdom. How are we going to take it? And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, you know, some people quibble and quarrel about this word, ever, forever. And some of these people that believe in ultimate reconciliation, they say, well, that word forever is in the Greek. I don't know about the Hebrew, but in the Greek they say, well, that word means eon, A-E-O-N. And the evolution people, they talk about the Cretozoic era, eon, and the Paleozoic era. I mean, these are just fictitious names. I don't know what they're all named, but they have an eon that lasts a million years here, and then another eon that lasts another million years over there. And they can say, well, these are just a few eons. No. When the Bible says forever, even forever, and forever, they're saying, no, it does not have an end. There is no better word that we can give you that tells you it won't end. Amen? It's not going to end. But it says the saints are going to take it. Now, how are we going to take it? Are we going to raise up a militia and an army? Are we going to start training for how to shoot and how to make bombs? And No. This is not how we're going to take it. How are we going to rule? How are we going to rule and reign on this earth? How? Are we going to have elections and elect a president and elect a senate? No. We're going to rule in righteousness. Well, Brother Mark, I can't understand that. We're trying to be righteous now. We're not doing very much in ruling. But you know what? When God says it's time, it's going to happen. And if you want to be righteous, He's going to give you a place of righteousness to rule and reign. But will I be president or what? Well, no, don't worry about that. You will be righteous. And the power of righteousness is going to hold this earth. And the standard of morality, the standard of goodness, will be so strong that men will not be able to break it. The devil will not be able to. The devil will be bound. He won't be able to do anything about it. Amen. Hallelujah. That was verse 18. And over here on the next page, verse 21, a few verses here. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That means there's going to be some opposition. Okay? The Antichrist, the devil, the systems of this world are not going to give in easily. So he's going to make war against us. He's going to make war against Christ. Amen? And it, for a while, he's going to prevail, it says, right? Did I read that right? How many of you believe he's prevailing right now? How many of you believe he's made war against us, and he's got us pretty well subdued, hasn't he? Because unrighteousness, wickedness, is still prevailing. They're still passing laws supporting wickedness in this world. It's prevailing. It would seem that we're being subdued. We say, oh God, how long? And it seems, well, your prayers aren't getting very far, are they? But I'm talking about the prophetic word that says the saints are going to take the kingdom. Now this is the word of God. God is patient. God is long-suffering. He doesn't do everything just the minute we think it ought to be done. So, he says, and prevailed against them. You notice that's a semicolon there? Because the sentence isn't finished. Prevail against them until what? Until the Ancient of Days came. So we're not going to get anywhere until the master of the house rises up. The master has to rise up. And the master, I think he's delaying rising up purposely so that we know we're not going to get anywhere without him. He's going to give us all kinds of chances to prove what we can't do. We'll get the vote out. Everybody got to vote. No, it isn't going to accomplish anything. Because they're so wicked, they'll make a false vote. And come on, they all do this. All the wicked people. People in Russia, people in Ukraine, everywhere. If they want a vote to go a certain way, they just pack the ballot boxes full of unrighteous votes and they get what they want. You can't overcome that way. Haven't we discovered that? Amen. All right. So, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. You can't take it. You can't by force. You can't train to have it. But when the Ancient of Days comes, that's the coming of Christ, isn't it? Is he not the Ancient of Days? Is he not with the Father from the beginning? Until he comes, you know, there's a secret coming in us before the every eye. He has to come. Almighty Christ, come forth in me. This song was not just a bunch of words that we sang this morning. We are calling for the coming forth of Christ in me. And as Sister Rita said, we have to be ready and want it and be ready to put out all the me, the earth that doesn't belong to it. So we're not going to get anywhere until he comes. Stir up, my beloved. Isn't that in the Song of Solomon? I adjure thee, stir not up my beloved until his time. Well, we're trying to stir him up, but he's not going to be stirred up until he's ready to be stirred up. Okay. And judgment or justice was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. How is it going to happen? It's going to happen when the Ancient of Days decides it's time to happen. He's going to put it in you, and you will possess the kingdom. I want to possess this kingdom first. When I can possess this kingdom, then I can possess some other kingdoms. But until you learn to rule over your own kingdom of your flesh, you will not be ready to rule over anything else. If you can't rule over your own flesh. Isn't that what the Word of God is saying? Come on, tell me I'm wrong. No, don't tell me I'm wrong, because I don't want to be wrong on this. All right, now, there's another couple of verses that I have to finish. Did I get to verse 22? Yes, I did. And so let me just read down through 27, and then we'll finish with this. Let me just finish thus. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse. Which shall be diverse. Where am I? Here, I lost my...
23,
okay. Diverse, yes. Different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. This is the spirit of the devil coming into a government, coming into a kingdom, causing a certain type of kingdom that is going to rise up and take over all the earth. All the earth. There is no place, there is no cabin in Montana you can hide in. Amen. We got a call from a sister in Montana last night. Amen. There's saints out there, brothers. They're not hiding in log cabins in the mountains. They're just believing the Word of God. There's no island down in the Caribbean that you can hide that will be unaffected by this. There's no hidden mountain in the Himalayas anywhere that you can go. No, there is not. There is not. Amen? It says, and he's going to devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. Satan does not want a peaceful kingdom. Islam is not, they don't want a peaceful kingdom. They want to destroy each other when they have what they want. They're not looking for peace. They will not. They are not capable of having peace. If you think they are, look to Iraq today. Today, the news today. What are they doing to enforce their peace? They're executing people. Making movies of it and showing it around the nation to make people fear. Is that peaceful? No. No. It says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Whatever new government comes, people used to say that the 10 nations of the European Union, well, it's more than 10 now. I think it's up to 17 now, the EU. Well, it wasn't that 10, was it? So, it's something else. We don't know. We don't know what it is, but we know the Word of God says 10. All right. It says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High. How many of you believe he's wearing it, trying to wear us out right now? Trying to make you discouraged. Trying to make you tired. Trying to make you say, oh, what's the use? Oh, I can't get anywhere. Oh, 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 oh my, oh me. No, he's trying to wear us out. This is the tactic of Satan. When you find a spirit trying to wear you out, you know this is the devil. This is the work of the devil, trying to wear me down. Amen? But in the name of Jesus Christ, I will not be worn down. Amen? I will not yield. I will not give in. I am going to be an overcomer. And we're preaching an overcoming word, brethren. You have to be an overcomer. You have to rise up in Christ, in the power of Christ, and you will not be subject to that spirit of Antichrist. You will not be. Amen? And think to change times and laws. Boy, are they changing laws. My, oh my. Every day. Making laws. New laws, even to destroy the economy. Knowing what it's going to do. changing times, changing laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I'm hearing from friends, I'm hearing from people, I'm hearing from brethren. And these are not names of big name preachers or anything like that. Some of them are saying, you know, I just feel the Lord is saying we've probably got two or three more years before this starts. And then it starts. Or maybe we don't have that much. I don't know. I know that it's very close. Some are saying things are happening in latter June. Some are saying things in the 1st of July. New laws that are coming on the line that are going to change things. Things are happening fast. I'm not giving a date. But I'm saying we could very well be within a 3-year period of when this all begins to break out and begin the clock of the last 3.5 years. A time and times and the dividing of time. This is how long the saints are going to be given into the hand of this tyranny that's going to come upon the earth. But you know the good news. Good news is it's going to come to an end. Amen? It's coming to an end. And the kingdom, listen to this. Here's the good news. I want to leave this with you. And the kingdom, I mean, you like that word kingdom. Kingdom has what? Kingdom has a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. Kings have kingdoms, don't they?
Did you read verse 26?
Did I miss 26? Oh, no, you're right. I missed 26. Oh, that's also good news, isn't it? Amen? And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. When it says the judgment shall sit, I like that. That word is, and the court will be in session. How many of you like to be in the part of that jury? The court will be in session, and the judgment will be given against Satan's kingdom, and the jury will say, Amen. And the judge will say, bring the gavel down. Where's my little gavel? I used to have here's a little gavel right here. Bring the gavel down. It's the end. Put him and bind him 1,000 years. That's what the judge is going to say. And the angel will come with a big chain and bind him up and throw him in the abyss for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he's going to be bound again forever. It's all in the Word. Amen? And judgment, the court will be in session. Can't you just see that picture? The spiritual picture. Can't you just see the court of heaven in session? The judge, the Ancient of Days sitting behind the bench. Amen. On the throne. Satan dragged before him in chains, whimpering. He has nothing more. Amen. And here's the 27 now. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. How big is that? How big is under the whole heaven? Is it just this earth?
You can't measure it.
You know the astronomers, they don't know how far this thing goes. They don't know where we're going. They say everything's moving. The earth is moving. Earth moves around the sun. The sun is moving. Yes, the sun has got some kind of rotation in the Milky Way galaxy. Milky Way galaxy is going somewhere. Nobody knows where, though. They can't figure it out after that. It's going somewhere. Everything. Oh, and it's moving at a tremendous speed. Many kilometers per hour. But they don't know where it's going. God's in control. I just... Awesome. Power of God to control all that. He keeps everything in perfect balance. Our gravity is kept at perfect. I mean, when you get on the scales, you weigh the same thing. You know, it doesn't... You're not twice as heavy tomorrow morning because the gravity changed or something. No, you're same thing. Amen? And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who?
The
The people of the saints of the Most High. Now come on, there is something for us in this. I don't love God just because I want to have some big position in the kingdom. That's not why. But in His goodness, He doesn't have to have us rule. But He says, I want to do it. I want to share with you. I want to give you a place. I want to give you a peace. I want to give you a place to rule also because you've been faithful and you understand My glory and you understand My... I want to give you a place. I'm going to give you some responsibility. He is a giving God. He's going to give it to us. Amen? But He could do it all alone. How many gazillion eons did He do it on His own before He made us? He was doing pretty good at it. One day He said, well, there weren't days, but one eternal time, He said, oh, I'm going to make man. I want to share all this. I want to teach men My ways. And I want to make them sons. And I want to give them responsibility. And they will be like Me. And they will rule like Me. And I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to train them. They're going to have to make a choice, though. Those that choose to go My way, they'll have all this. Those that choose not, I'll have something else for them. Amen? Give to the people the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. That means there are other dominions, but they're going to serve and obey Him. Amen. Brethren, I think this is the best news I've heard all day. Isn't it? God be with you.